Well, 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 what a busy week we've got planned for you. Open invitation. We have a few things to remind you about. One, Radiothon. I know it's only March, but if we're going to raise $20,000 for the Radiothon, now's the time to start. We'll be on the Radiothon. Will be the, for us, the Anarchist World this week will be the 10th and the 17th of June. That's two full weeks. So the 10th to the 17th of June, keep saving your 5 cent pieces. There are no 2 cent pieces anymore. And if you require legal, legitimate tax deduction and you want to direct your taxes, this is a great way to legally, like the famous and infamous do, minimise your tax responsibilities. That's first. Secondly, tonight, dinner at Brunswick at Naruda's, which is the corner of Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z-E, and Albion Street in Brunswick, starting at around 6:30 p.m. So if you're listening to the Anarchist World this week and you're interested in meeting like-minded people, come along tonight. Naruda's, it's a Latin American restaurant, you know, reasonable food, reasonable prices, that's why we go there. Corner of Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z-E, and Albion Street in Brunswick. This Sunday, starting at 1 p.m, that's the 15th of March, Sunday the 15th of March, we're having the first gathering for the West Papuan independent struggle at the West Papuan office. And those of you who've been consumed with what's been going on in the Middle East, let's not forget, there's been an independent struggle to our north, 70 kilometres from the Australian coastline, a continuing struggle with continuing stream of refugees coming to this country, applying for humanitarian visas. So it's 1 p.m. It's at 838 Collins Street in Docklands. 838 Collins Street in Docklands. You get off the tram and there you are. The door at the front is closed. Walk around the back. That's where the action is. Lunch between 1 and 2. Guest speakers between 2 and 3. And at 3 o'clock I'll be doing the infamous West Papuan auction to raise money for the West Papuan Rent Collective. And if you're full of cash, you don't know what to do, think seriously of joining the West Papuan Rent Collective. $1 a day, 365 days a year. Come along this Sunday, 15th of March, 1 p.m, 838 Collins Street, and support the West Papuan independent struggle, a struggle you hear nothing about. And don't forget the Public Housing Everybody's Business vigils in the steps of Parliament House. This is our 10th year. That's right. Midday to 1 p.m. every Thursday, followed by, you guess what, lunch down at the Paramount Food Court. So come along, join us, meet like-minded activists. The sacred cows have wandered in. They look a bit tattered, but they've wandered in. I think they've been in Tehran. Here we go. 5, 4, we're off.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed mind.
Welcome to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else.
World this week, broadcast live across Australia via courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. The Anarchist World this week is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. It's broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network, and the program is podcast, hundreds of podcasts you can look at. Podcast is 3cr.org.au, 3cr.org.au. Anarchy, anarchos, no, what's not happening? What's happening in the Middle East or Lebanon? No. Anarchos without rulers. It's creating a society without rulers. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people, as we witness every day? Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve power, possibly through direct democratic means, and the struggle to hold wealth in common and use it for the common good. Universal concepts that have existed since time immemorial. There may be some philosophy or ideology which describes itself as anarchist, but those concepts of living in harmony with the people around us based on the questions of decision-making and access to wealth is fundamental to every human society that has existed since time immemorial. All right, you've got to laugh sometimes. Gloating war criminal outfoxes Washington buffoon. It sounds like a cartoon, doesn't it? Gloating war criminal outfoxes Washington buffoon. Now, it's fascinating how we forget, how quickly we forget. It's as if in Australia, history begins when you wake up in the morning. Everything that happened beforehand is irrelevant. I kind of remember the devastation that occurred in Gaza over a two-year period. Now, obviously, everybody was amazed and disgusted by the events of the 7th of October 2023, but nobody seemed to look at the background, or very few people looked at the background of the 70 years of oppression, of the fact that the citizens of Gaza had been basically imprisoned there for the last 20 years since they elected Hamas as their government. And then we saw one of the most sophisticated war machines obliterate Gaza and its people, destroying over 85% of any structures, targeting reporters, the media, destroying medical facilities, killing over 75,000 people. And despite a truce, the atrocities continue to exist. But we've forgotten about that, haven't we? Because now we're looking at another war in Iran and Lebanon. So at that stage, the president, or the prime minister, I should say, of the State of Israel was considered to be a war criminal. Now he turns out to be a hero. Him and his government, as they go about their task of creating a greater Israel. The Israel, which they were promised in the Old Testament. I was going to say testimony, obviously. So it's like a cartoon. Here we have a war criminal who's now become a hero, and we have a buffoon who continues to be a buffoon. Obviously, the Israeli state would never have been able to destroy the Iranian state, both terrorist states, let's not forget that, the Iranian state and the Israeli state are terrorist states, without the assistance of the US of A. And the buffoon has come out swinging. Unfortunately, he's swinging into thin air. Now, obviously, the death and destruction we are seeing in the Middle East was totally preventable. Totally preventable. But it didn't suit the current Israeli government, because the current Israeli government believed that by taking out the Iranian dictatorship, the Iranian theocracy, they would then be able to determine that fate of the Middle East. and obviously the United States has come in, thinking that somehow their intervention will somehow assist United States interests. Now, obviously, we've seen that their intervention has not assisted United States interests. It's quite obvious that it doesn't. Now, let's look at the situation in the Middle East. Now, everybody talks about creating a democracy in Iran, a parliamentary democracy. Everybody seems to be horrified about what's happening in the Middle East, not because of the loss of life, but because it may affect the oil prices. It'll affect the economy. It'll affect the stock market. And ultimately, it'll affect your retirement and your superannuation fund. Nobody seems to be that interested in the reality. The reality is every single state that is currently involved in the war in the Middle East, and it is a war, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, they're all feudal monarchies. None of them even pretend to be democracies. They're feudal monarchies who have got a long history of suppressing their Shia minorities. A very long history. Now, the United Arab Emirates, which the Australian government has decided now to assist, has a long history of fomenting revolts in that part of the world, especially in its intervention in Yemen and Sudan. Sudan has been involved in a brutal war, civil war, between paramilitary forces, which describe themselves as the Rapid Response Forces, and the Sudanese military, which has resulted in the deaths of over 200,000 people, continuing destruction, starvation in the western region of Sudan. And the Rapid Defence Forces have been bankrolled by Qatar and the Emirates because they'd like to get their hands on the gold which exists in Western Sudan. Gold, which has been mined for thousands of years, since ancient Egyptians mined for gold in northwestern Sudan. So here we have these feudal monarchies somehow, and I forgot Kuwait, also another feudal monarchy, somehow pretending to be bastions of democracy, and we, the West, support them. Now, let's look at the world, because obviously we've got a buffoon in Washington, and buffoons, you know, can cause problems occasionally. But the problem is very simple. We have somebody in power who thinks they have unlimited power. Every constitutional arrangement was put in place by the American revolutionaries in 1776 to devolve power and stop one person from utilising that power without first consulting the people they represent has now been destroyed. And we have the world, you know, saying, oh, what's the buffoon going to say today? What's he going to say tomorrow? What's he going to say the day after tomorrow? What's the buffoon going to do? What's going to happen to my future? Blah, blah, blah. So, when you've got a world where a gloating war criminal outfoxes a Washington buffoon, and that people are sustaining real damage, you know that we've got a problem, a major problem. And that major problem, as I keep saying over and over again, is the concentration of power and wealth in the hands of a minuscule minority. And what we've seen over the last 50 years during the deregulation, privatisation, globalisation and corporatisation revolution which has swept the globe is the fact that power and wealth continues to be concentrated in fewer and fewer hands. And nothing highlights this more than what's happening in the virtual world. So, it is difficult times. But the fact is, we need to expose that hypocrisy and we need to look at the consequences. It's a little bit like throwing a rock in a pool. You see ripples go out to the edge of that pool. So that rock has consequences for that pool and every living thing in that pool. Consequences. It's the same with what's happening in the Middle East. We live in a global economy. Whether we like it or not, it is a global economy. That's what globalisation is about. We don't have independence. We have interdependence. And that brings me to Australia's role in this situation. You see, a lot of people think of the United States of America as a bastion of democracy. The history of the United States of America has been a history of intervention, oppression, and the supporting of some of the most evil dictatorial forces in the history of the world. The problem is that as a so-called sovereign nation state, we no longer have the ability to determine our future as a people outside the United States of America's orbit. Now, the problem that all those Middle Eastern feudal monarchies have is that their defence system is totally integrated in the United States of America. You've got US bases in Saudi Arabia, you've got US bases in Bahrain, you've got US bases in Kuwait, you have US bases in the United Arab Emirates, and the list goes on and on. And we now find ourselves in the same situation in this country. Obviously, we've had US bases at Pine Gap for decades. For the last 10 years, we have seen a huge change in our relationship with the United States of America. And when you've got a president and a Congress and a Senate that always puts America first, you've got a problem, especially when your military is totally integrated with the United States military, as we see in the Middle East. So it is a difficult time. Do I have any solutions? No. Do you have any solutions? No. But what we can do is we can actually look at the situation, analyse the situation and expose the hypocrisy, and hopefully over time people will begin disbelieving the propaganda which has become part and parcel of everyday life in this country. If there was ever a time for an independent Australian Broadcasting Corporation, now is the time. But you don't get it. I'll give you an example. Simple example. Right. Now, seven Iranians from a group of 26 which came to this country to play in the World Asian, you know, soccer championship, right, have been granted humanitarian asylum. Good. Excellent. In the same day yesterday, legislation was introduced in Parliament which will stop over 200,000 people on visas to come to this country, 7,200 of them being Iranians, from coming to the country, coming to Australia, because the Australian government believes that they will ask for humanitarian visas and political asylum. So we're quite happy, because the cameras are blazing, to offer political asylum and humanitarian visas to seven players, or seven people from the Iranian soccer team here. But as far as the other Iranians who have got legal visas to come here, whether it's business or tourist or family reunion, they've come to see their family, because there are many Iranian refugees in this country, many, tens of thousands. We just cancel their visa because we're frightened they may apply for a humanitarian visa, because we're frightened of what divided nation and that crew's going to say, or, you know, what's left of the Liberal National Opposition. We're somehow frightened. Extraordinary. Extraordinary situation. Extraordinary hypocrisy. Unbelievable hypocrisy when you think about it. I'll give you another example. Now, this Sunday, that's the 15th of March 2026, the West Papuan office, which is involved in the West Papuan independence struggle, which has been going on for over 60 years, is holding a gathering from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m, to which obviously you're all invited. Costs free. 838 Collins Street in Docklands in Melbourne. Just walk around the back. 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. But why am I mentioning that? Currently, we continue to have West Papuans coming to Australia applying for humanitarian visas because they're political refugees. Because as I speak, there is still a war of attrition occurring in West Papuan Highlands between the original inhabitants and the Indonesian invaders. And they've got to jump through hoops, and in some cases are never granted political asylum. You don't see a laughing Mr. Bowen turn up at the West Papuan office and grant them political asylum. Because somehow, you know, our relationship with Indonesia is much more important to the government of the day and the opposition and divided nation and that struggle which has been going on for over 60 years, which has resulted in the deaths of over 500,000 people. Now, West Papua isn't 10,000 kilometres away. West Papua is 70 kilometres from the Australian coastline. 70 kilometres. The West Papua independence struggle obviously has been, you know, forgotten in the last few years because of the atrocities that are occurring in the Middle East. But it's just as relevant to us as Australians as what's going in the Middle East. Now, talking about hypocrisy, let's move one step further. Now, there are over 20,000 Australians working in the United Arab Emirates because it's, you know, it's profitable. They're paid very well. The interesting thing about working in the feudal monarchies, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Oman, Qatar, and the list, the United Arab Emirates, and the list goes on and on. The fascinating thing is they've got a hierarchy of payment scales depending on the colour of your skin and where you come from. But that's a different story. Now, we're obviously concerned about the 20,000 Australians working in the United Arab Emirates, and the Australian government says, well, let's send off a little plane and some missiles to, you know, for some defensive action, my foot. But at the same time, have we heard a peep, one word, from the Australian government, Her Majesty's loyal opposition, what's left of the Liberal National Party, and divided nation, regarding the thousands, if not tens of thousands, of Australians who are currently trapped in Lebanon, who are being bombed? We've seen residential areas bombed in Beirut by the Israeli war criminal and his gang. Is there one peep regarding the fate of these Australians in Lebanon. It's as if you're working in a feudal monarchy, you know, we'll do everything we can to protect you as one of our citizens. But if you're living and working in Lebanon, somehow you're no longer an Australian. Somehow we don't hear the Australian government protesting against the actions, and I'm not going to use the word illegal because there is nothing, there is no such thing as legal and illegal when it comes to international affairs. It's about power, force, military deployment. Not one word to the Israeli authorities that we're concerned about the fate of Australian citizens in Lebanon, and maybe we'd be sending some transport planes, as we sent to Abu Dhabi, to evacuate Australian citizens from Lebanon. All we get is a little warning from, you know, DFAT, don't go to Lebanon. Extraordinary hypocrisy. And that's the central issue. The hypocrisy regarding this country's response to what is happening in the Middle East today. And that was highlighted when Australia became the first sovereign nation state to be prodded to support the military devastation which is occurring not just in Iran, not just in Lebanon, not just in the feudal monarchies, but the ripple effects which are beginning to have an impact on us and our neighbours in a variety of ways. You're listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia via the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Now, there's nobody out there that remembers World War One. Obviously, everybody's dead. But it's interesting how World War One began. The Archduke of Ferdinand was assassinated by a Serbian nationalist. There are all these alliances in Europe between different, I hate to use the word, royal, I should say parasite families. And bingo, we had World War One. People sacrificed themselves on the banner of God, King and Country. For what? For nothing. And I'll talk about that as we get close to Anzac Day. I mean, we'll get the same propaganda and hypocrisy about the fact that people died fighting for democracy, not some dirty little trade war which had nothing really to do with them. But that's a different story. So that's how World War One began. Now, currently, Iran is an important partner of both the USSR, I should say Russia, the USSR doesn't exist, Russia and China. And obviously, irrespective of the brutality of the Iranian government, the Russians and the Chinese would love to see the Iranian government survive. Because let's not forget that in terms of foreign military bases, the American government has 800, the United States government has 897 foreign bases outside its borders. Russia has 25 and China has one in Djibouti and the Horn of Africa. So obviously they will do what they can to support and bolster the theocrats in Iran. It doesn't take much miscalculation to see an escalation in this type of warfare. But the dilemma is, if that occurs, and hopefully it won't occur, but if it does occur, it puts Australia in the firing line. We don't have a dome, you know, protective dome like Israel. and the feudal monarchies. We don't have that. We are open, that's right, open to attack and major casualties, both civilians and armed forces in this country. Open to that. I know it sounds doomsday-ish and it could never happen, but I'm sure during World War One, when it began to unravel, nobody thought that you're going to have 25 million people dead within a few years. Most of them, you know, many of them volunteers, like, you know, 62,000 Australians. Nobody thought it would come to that. It's the same for the current situation. The fact is that because there is no such thing as an international world order, you know, a legal international framework that's worth anything, we now find ourselves in a situation where the United States government, or maybe the Chinese government or the Russian government, may say, we don't like what's going on, so let's invade Ukraine. And then the United States government says, I don't like what's going on in Venezuela. Yeah? They don't allow a lot of business there. Let's take out the president and have a more agreeable government in power, which do our bidding. And as far as Cuba is concerned, oh, God, that little place. Well, we need to teach them a lesson and close them down. I mean, one of the last vestiges of a socialist communist economy, let's destroy it completely. Let's embargo everything. Let's see them fall away. Because it's not just about military force. What we're seeing is naked power. Naked power being used to change direction of sovereign nation states to suit the world's superpowers. And we need to understand that if we want to play that game and if we want to ride on the, you know, the United States carriage, we will be the ones who will be sacrificed. Because the United States of America is about America first. And let's not forget, we're about 0.03% of the world's population of 8 billion people. And the United States of America, I think, is about 5% of the world's population. And the rest of the world isn't happy with the direction things are moving in. Listening to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. My name is Joseph Toscano. This program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. Just a few announcements. Anarchist World This Week will be involved in the Community Radio Federation, 3CR Federation Radio Fund, which will be held from, the 10th to the 27th of June. We'll be trying to raise $20,000 to keep 3CR on air for another year. And I just like to keep you to keep that in mind. Start saving your pennies now. And believe it or not, you can get a legal, legitimate tax deduction by donating to the Anarchist World This Week through the 3CR Radio Fund. Now, the rich and famous do it. Now, currently, we have a little art gallery in Melbourne being built called the Fox Gallery. They gave them $100 million, all tax deductible, all legal. So why shouldn't you donate a little bit of money to the Community Radio 3CR to keep this station on air for another 50 years? Now, the other fascinating news is that Community Radio Federation has now been on air for 50 years, and we're having a little knees-up Mother Brown celebration on the 4th of July, which every single listener is invited to, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., at the Collingwood Town Hall on Punt Road. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, the 4th of July. You see, it's because of the much maligned Whitlam-led Labor government, which was responsible for the introduction of more reforms in 4 years than we have seen in 126 years in this country, that community radio stations who are affiliated and not affiliated to the community radio network exist. And they exist because the Whitlam-led Labor government wanted some mechanism by which to break the monopoly the Murdoch media had in this country. And although we continue to have an expansion of the virtual world, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, you name it, I've forgotten how many there are, YouTube, the fact is that the Murdoch media, and I know you may find this hard to believe, continues to drive the political, social and cultural agenda in this country. Because all these other virtual elements, radio stations, both public and private, newspapers, take their lead from what is reported and how it's reported in the Murdoch media. And that's why community radio continues to play an important part in formulating and assisting people to make sense of a world which is driven by propaganda and hypocrisy. So I encourage you to support your local community radio station. And if they're a little bit weak in terms of content, encourage them to share The Anarchist World This Week on their network. There's over 120 affiliates to the Community Radio Network. Obviously, not all these affiliates broadcast The Anarchist World This Week. A small percentage do, I think about 10%. But this is an opportunity for people to get some real analysis of what's actually occurring. I'll give you another example of hypocrisy. I think hypocrisy is the name of the game today. Now, remember the Adelaide Writers' Festival, right? Collapsed because a Palestinian author who was invited was disinvited, and many of the guests said, oh, you know, piss off, we're not near to this, and the whole thing collapsed. Now, currently, it's interesting. I've been following this because it actually shows you where real power lies in this country. Now, the Sydney Writers' Festival, which will be held soon, private organisation which basically relies on philanthropy to survive, right? That means sponsors, has invited 250 different authors, and I'm sure you'll all race over there and listen to them. And they've invited one Palestinian author, one Australian Palestinian author. And guess what? The New South Wales government is unhappy and is talking about curtailing funds to the Sydney's Writers Festival. But more importantly, all those many of the organisations which bankroll the Sydney Writers Festival are coming under increasing pressure from the Zionist lobby in this country to remove their support for the Sydney's Writers' Festival. And we see this over and over again in the Australian media, whether it's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation or what is described as the private media, you know, a slush bag of garbage, basically refusing to give the other side of the story. As I said before, there are Australians in the feudal monarchies in the Middle East being bombed by Iran. There are Australians in Lebanon, more than in the feudal monarchies, that have been bombed by Israel. And it's all about the Australians in the feudal monarchies. Nothing about the tens of thousands of Australians whose lives have been destroyed in Lebanon. And that's the dilemma. It's like all the publicity regarding the seven Iranian soccer players and functionaries who've defected from the Iranian team who've been given humanitarian visas. But hardly anybody talks about the 7,200 Iranians who had visas to visit relatives in this country. And remember, there are many Iranian refugees in this country who have now had those visas cancelled, inverted commas, temporarily, because they may have the audacity, if they come to Australia, to apply for a humanitarian visa because of the atrocities which are occurring in Iran, both by the Iranian government and the United States and Israeli military. And divided nation may get upset, and their supporters in the Liberal National Party may get upset. What extraordinary hypocrisy. Let's move on. Oh, I just want to make one comment. I have never seen so many dysfunctional losers as I currently see in the United States of America government. You've got a health minister who doesn't believe in science. You got a war minister who thinks that, you know, it's like the cowboys and Indians, there are good guys and bad guys, and you kill people, it doesn't really matter. And you've got a president, you know, the Washington buffoon, who doesn't know what he's doing from one day to the next. But the tragedy is, this has real consequences for the people of the United States of America as well as the rest of the world. Real consequences. And the people in the United States of America are just beginning to understand those consequences. Now let's move on to our part of the world, all right? Well, it's not our world, is it? Just where we live, okay? Now, Australians, by hook or by crook, have seen their old age privatised. What I'm talking about is superannuation. Superannuation is about you putting a percentage of your wage away through legislation so you can pay for your own retirement. There's only one big problem with superannuation. If you have a big, fat wage while you're working, you've got a big, fat superannuation portfolio which you can use to legally minimise your tax. If you work part-time, if you're in a lowly paid job, your superannuation is a pittance. But 50% of the trillions of dollars, I think there's $2 trillion, I could be wrong. Yeah, I think it's $2 trillion that are in superannuation funds today. 50%, that's $1 trillion, is invested in the world's stock markets. Now, obviously, instead of investing in government bonds, which have, you know, a fixed rate, 4 to 5% over 10 years, so you know, at some stage you will, you know, have a retirement fund. What we see is a significant amount of Australian superannuation funds investing not just in the Australian stock market but international stock markets. And as we've seen over the last few days, there are major fluctuations in the markets, not based on economic indicators, and that's the tragedy, not based on the investment capacity or the profitability of a particular company or a particular, you know, group of companies, but at what's happening in the real world in terms of what the buffoon or the China or, you know, the leadership in China or, you know, or Putin and his cohorts, you know, decide to do. So it's quite a tragedy, isn't it? We have a superannuation system that not only invests in the very organisations that oppress us as individuals and as a people, but a superannuation system which is highly, highly volatile. Now, obviously, you get companies saying, well, we made 8% profit last year and we made 9% profit this year. We're going to make 11% profit next year, but how about what happens when there is a major downturn? And if this war in the Middle East continues, and it's got the capacity to continue and expand, what's going to happen to your retirement plans? That nice little caravan you were going to buy for $120,000, go around Australia, being a grey nomad? All that money you set aside to fix your teeth when you retire? Or do an overseas cruise? Or get out of the public health sector and, you know, pay for a little bit of private medical care? The fact is that superannuation funds should not be able to invest in the world's stock markets. They should be government guaranteed. And the money which goes into a superannuation fund could actually be used not to create some investment in some far-off place, but that money could be used to build infrastructure in this country. And people still get a fair return for a reasonable return and do something for the country at the same time. But that's the nature of the world today, isn't it? We chase that elusive buck in order to retire comfortably. Well, I can't think, look, I'm now what? I'm nearly 75. And I can tell you that a lot of the people I know, unfortunately, are old. And I've never seen so many jittery elderly people, because they're obviously concerned about what their superannuation fund is doing. Every morning they get up and check the net to see what's happening. It's no way to retire. When you retire, you should be able to enjoy that period, not wonder about whether there's going to be any money in your fund in 2 weeks' time or 6 weeks' time because of some dysfunctional misfits, both in the United States government and the Australian government. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Look, I'd just like to extend my sympathies to the family of Aidan Becker. I mean, hardly anybody knows about Aidan Becker. He's a 22-year-old man who was slaughtered at Moonda Railway Station a few days ago when he intervened to protect a 14-year-old lad who has been menaced by a group of men and teenagers with knives and machetes. Now, I wouldn't have had that courage. And I think it's important when people talk about heroes, and we do use the word loosely in this country, and we talk about courage, the sacrifice which was made by Mr. Becker, who was only 22, who did what he believed was the right thing, and you wonder where the police at Moonda Station were at that particular point in time. You wonder, but that's something to look about. The fact is that he stood up and tried to protect somebody who was unable to protect themselves is something quite extraordinary that we should not only remember, but we should acknowledge. Because far too often we see people in this country getting up, trying to do the right thing, trying to protect the weak and vulnerable, trying to rail against racist abuse, trying to do the right thing, find themselves in the situation Mr. Becker found. Because the dilemma is few of us are willing to stand up to do what's right. And when something like this happens, when somebody stands up to protect the innocent and the vulnerable, and they get murdered, we tend to think about it And maybe next time we don't get up to do what's right. So I encourage people to use his example in their everyday interactions, which going about their business in this country. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Here's a trick question. Now, obviously, sometimes you'll need a bit of comedy. What do the Great Ocean Road 12 Apostles, there's actually only nine, have to do with public housing? What do the Great Ocean Road 12 Apostles have to do with public housing? Well, I've been fascinated regarding a pathetic little debate that's been occurring over the last two or three days, mainly in the state of Victoria, where the Victorian government has decided to build this lovely information centre and charge tourists for the privilege of seeing the nine apostles. There's only nine left. Three of them have disappeared. Okay? I've got no problem with that. Now, I heard the tourist minister, I've forgotten his name, obviously he's another non-entity in the Victorian government in opposition, say that any money they would make would be ploughed back into the information centre and looking after the environment on the Great Ocean Road. And I thought, wonderful. Isn't it wonderful that we have a government that is willing to use the funds which are raised through the introduction of a fee to protect that area that the fee has been introduced to. And then I thought, now I've been involved in the public housing struggle for many years. I think it's about 2016, I think this is the 10th year. And we've been having a vigil on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House, which obviously you're all invited to, every Thursday from 12 to 1, advocating for public housing. But our slogan has been very simple, and in many regards it runs parallel to what's happening on the Great Ocean Road and the 12 Apostles. Our central policy is that the Victorian government should use the revenue which is raised through the imposition of stamp duty on people who buy a home, that it should be earmarked for public housing. Now, if we did that, we could house, maybe through a spot purchasing program, maybe through a government building program, we could house 100,000 Victorians in public housing every year, because the stamp duty revenue, which comes from the sale of residential properties in this state, comes to between $6 and $8 billion per year. That's $6 to $8 billion per year. If that money was earmarked to supply maintenance to public housing, to renovate public housing, and to create new public housing, you could put 1 million Victorians, that's almost 25% of the population, in public housing within a decade. There'd be no housing crisis. You wouldn't have to stumble over people sleeping on the streets. You wouldn't have all these charities raising money because people are homeless. You wouldn't have people that are homeless. So why shouldn't a tax, and this has been our main basis for the last 10 years, why shouldn't money which is raised by imposing a tax on the sale, on the purchase of a home in the state of Victoria, why shouldn't that be used to create public housing instead of being involved in a campaign to totally privatise what's left of the public housing sector in this state? Simple idea. Nobody's interested in government. I mean, it got to the ridiculous stage where public housing, everybody's business, made a submission to the Victorian Legislative Council when they're having their little, you know, thing, and I was invited to say a few words regarding these issues, and the invitation was pulled 24 hours before. But that's what you expect in this situation. Reminds me of the good old days. I think it was 2018, state election, or was it 2016? I can't remember exactly. We had a 10-day vigil on the steps of the Victorian Parliament House. I personally stood against the housing minister. I've forgotten his name. It was such a non-entity. And we put so much pressure on the state government just before the election that they promised to build 1,000 new public housing units in Victoria. Did they ever build them? No. Did they ever plan for them? No. Did they ever allocate any money towards them? No. They're more interested in privatising what's left of the public housing sector. And finally, just a few pieces of information you may be interested in. The West Papuan office, which is the office for the West Papuan independence movement in Melbourne, if not Australia, the West Papuan independence office, is holding a gathering on Sunday, the 15th of March, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Lunch, speakers, auction, all to raise money to keep the West Papuan office afloat to pay the rent. That's right. Now, you can become a member of the West Papuan office. It's very simple. Give us a call on 0439 395 489 or a private message on Facebook page Joseph Toscano, or email us at info@pibci.net. Become a member, $1 a day. The office has now been going for 14 years. We've raised over $250,000 to keep that office functioning. And I understand the office is going to be sold, so if there's any kind soul out there who's got $500,000 to buy it, and we'll pay them rent, and we're good tenants, give us a call. 0439 395 489. Excellent investment. Not that I should be promoting investments on Community Radio 3CR. Just reminding our listeners, both interstate and here, that Community Radio 3CR will be holding its annual radiothon, I think from about the 7th to the 21st of June. They'll be trying to raise $250,000 to keep Community Radio 3CR on air. We're going to try, and the key word is try, T-R-Y, to raise $20,000 to keep 3CR on air. That's the anarchist world this week. And if you pay taxes, do what the rich and infamous do. Legally minimise your tax. Legally minimise your tax. All right. Don't forget, YouTube, public interest before corporate interest. Historical YouTube, josephtoscano.now. Don't forget, dinner tonight, Brunswick. That's the, what's today? The 11th of March, 6:30 p.m. onwards at Naruda's, which is at the corner, Latin American restaurant at the corner of Breeze, B-R-E-E-Z-E Street and Albion Street in Brisbane. Don't forget, next week I'll be doing a presentation on the Waterside Workers Federation, historical presentation at the Footscray Hotel. Okay, thank you for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station. Tell people about the podcast. Tell them about Community Radio 3CR. Tell them about the Community Radio Network. Listen in to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station.
Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
An analysis you'll never hear anywhere else. Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse, 10 a.m. every Wednesday. Listen to The Anarchist World this week for an up-to-date analysis of local, national and international events.
Poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.